the rest of the story. I hate to go back over this in a way, but you do remember when the President of the United States got involved in ordering a big break-in. But there were some conspirators associated with that burglary whose names, I'll wager, you never heard before. You see, the real mastermind of the operation was a naval intelligence officer named Glenn Howell. Howell was contacted by an associate of the president, a wealthy Wall Street banker, Louis Strauss. This trusted intermediary and Howell secluded themselves in a small office at 52 William Street. Howell was expecting a mission involving national security, so he was surprised to learn that the president was authorizing the burglary of private property of a Democratic Party office. Now, the way Howell heard it, the Democrats had procured some damning information regarding the president personally, something so potent that it could topple the entire Republican administration if made public. Howell was told nothing of Haldeman or Ehrlichman or G. Gordon Liddy, only that the president himself, personally, could be irredeemably humiliated by documents which the Democrats had in their possession. And not even the president knew precisely what those documents contained, but one way or another, he had to find out. Well, Howell was assured of the Secret Service's cooperation in the matter. The only question remaining was, would he accept the mission? I should mention this information regarding this break-in, this closest ever indication of direct White House involvement, is derived from the secret diary of Howell himself. Additionally, in that diary, we can sense Howell's internal conflict, should he or shouldn't he. In favor of the participation was his previous activity in similar operations, because numerous times he had gone undercover for naval intelligence. Once he even broke into a Communist Party office to obtain information. Howell had also dreamed of creating a superintelligence agency, a round table at which all of the similar agencies could sit and through which they could work together. Well, if he succeeded in the mission now proposed for the president, perhaps a grateful administration would make his dream come true. And, of course, foremost in favor of Howell's participation was the President of the United States himself. So, fully knowing it was illegal, fully knowing it was immoral, fully realizing that a slip-up could ruin his life beyond repair, it was Glenn Howell who presided over the week's planning and preparation, and it was he who led the burglary of the Democratic Party headquarters. Now you know, or do you? For when Howell and a co-conspirator broke into that office, referred to in the farmer's diary as a mysterious chamber, they discovered nothing at all. Nothing which could conceivably embarrass the president. Nothing at all. And the case was closed, and nobody ever imagined that the break-in had ever taken place until right now. Because this was the Watergate controversy that never was. A mere footnote in the pages of American history. The only time, far as anyone knows, that a U.S. president actually plotted a crime while in office. The president was Herbert Hoover. The Watergate that wasn't happened in the summer of 1930, more than 40 years prior to the one that was. Now you know the rest of the story.